También en los iPads.
Lifetime News is brought to you by the National Pension Scheme Authority, NAPSA.
Bringing you hot off the press news from Lusaka, Arkabwe, Livingstone, and Copperbelt News Bureau. The Power FM News.
Government applauded for increased health budget. Secretary General appoints Chaloka Beani as Zambia's special advisor on prevention of genocide. Uganda agrees to take deported migrants from US if they don't have criminal records. In international news and in sports news, MTN Super League Week 2, the battles begin.
And now, the Power FM News.
Upfront and reliable news every day, I am Grace Wanji. The United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres has appointed Chaloka Beani as Special Advisor on the Prevention of Genocide. Mr. Beani, an Associate Professor of International Law in the Law Department, London School of Economics and Political Science, takes over from Alice Wairumi Nderitu of Kenya, to whom the Secretary General is grateful for her services. Welcoming him, Mr. Guterres said Mr. Beani brings practical legal, diplomatic and political experience in international law and human rights, including national constitutions and treaty making. Guterres further stated that Mr. Beani is an international expert on internally displaced persons, population transfers, mercenaries and private military companies, sexual and reproductive health, human rights-based approach to development and climate change. He has previously served as legal advisor to the Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights, the Office of the High Commissioner on Refugees, the World Health Organization, the United Nations Population Fund, United Nations Development Fund for Women, the European Union, the Commonwealth Secretariat and the African Union. The government has been applauded for raising the 2025 medical budget allocation to 4.9 billion kwacha, up from 4.6 billion kwacha in 2024 for the purchase of medicines and medical supplies. Speaking on the Power Breakfast Show, Zambia Medicines and Medical Supplies Agency, ZAMSA, Corporate Communications Senior Manager Bradley Chingove says the increase has greatly contributed to the availability of medicines in hospitals across the country. Mr. Chingove further assured the public that despite the withdrawal of support from USAID, there will be no shortage of medicines. He adds that due to the withdrawal, the agency has been planning adequately to make sure that the country has enough medicines for the next 2 years. The USAID $50 million US withdrawal is expected to take effect in January 2026.
Not see a situation where we will have shortages, because remember from the announcement, I think it was mentioned that the $50 million will be withdrawn in January 2026. Not, it hasn't yet been implemented. So what we've done as ZAMSA, of course, we had early this year a forecasting and quantification exercise, mm-hmm. where we planned what medicines we need for the next 3 years and how we should prioritize that. So we've covered all those aspects, and we do not foresee a situation where we will have out of stock situations or shortages as a result of that $50 million withdrawal by the USAID. Mm-hmm. Of course, it also gives us an opportunity to plan more effectively given the resources that we're given, because as you know, we are currently sitting at a budget of 4.9 billion kwacha that has been allocated to us by the government of the Republic of Zambia to buy medicines and medical supplies.
Despite acknowledging some of the positive developments that have been achieved through the Constituency Development Fund, their Member of Parliament, Emmanuel Tembo, has expressed concern that the funds remain inadequate to drive meaningful development in constituencies across the country. Mr. Tembo pointed out that while the CDF has helped improve service delivery in certain areas, the money allocated is still far from enough to cater for the wide range of developmental needs in communities. Speaking on the political podcast, the FERA lawmaker explains that in the past, the CDF was designed to act as a supplementary resource intended to support and enhance what government ministries and agencies were already doing on the ground. However, Mr. Tembo observed that the situation has since changed, with government no longer directly funding most developmental projects, leaving constituencies to rely solely on the CDF. He stressed that this shift has placed too much pressure on the fund, which he says cannot stretch far enough to meet the growing demands and expectations of the people.
Okay, first let me suffice to just give a brief background. The CDF was at 1.6 million in 2021, and that CDF was a supplementary funding to ensure that, you know, the MP and the CDF committee and other stakeholders within his constituents are able to supplement what central government is doing in the constituents. But the UPND have changed the formula. The money that used to come from the central government, that money is actually going into CDF, and the money is going to 30 million. By the way, before I even go any further, that money is insufficient. The parameter which the government uses, that, you know, we've increased from 1.6 million to 30 million or 36 million, therefore we can do a lot. No, the problem which is there is that every other expense, everything you need to do has to be done through that CDF. When it was at 1.6 million, government used to do bridges, used to construct schools, it used to fund, you know, school health facilities and so on. But right now, CDF has to come in, and therefore that makes it difficult. Now, in answering the question as how far has it helped the people, I can tell you, yes, they created components such as empowerment, which I think is supposed to be a good idea. But its impact has actually been, you know, just 5%.
The Zambia Conference of Catholic Bishops, ZCCB, are concerned about the ongoing pollution and environmental degradation unfolding across the country, subjecting vulnerable communities to suffer at the hands of businesses and political interest that failed to place human dignity at the center of national development. In a statement issued by ZCCB, the organization says it appreciates government for the positive interventions where cases of water and land pollution occurs. However, the organization also observes that the government's approach to these matters is casual. The organization has since urged government to shift its strategy from reaction to prevention by strengthening environmental impact assessments, increasing monitoring of industrial activities, and promoting sustainable, eco-friendly practices. In international news, Uganda has agreed to a deal with the United States to take deported migrants as long as they don't have criminal records and are not unaccompanied minors, the foreign ministry said on Thursday. The ministry said in a statement that the agreement had been concluded, but that the terms were still being worked out. It added that Uganda prefers that the migrants sent there be of African nationalities, but did not elaborate on what Uganda might get in return for accepting deportees. The U.S. Embassy in Uganda declined to comment on what it called diplomatic negotiations, but said the diplomats were seeking to uphold U.S. President Donald Trump's policy of keeping Americans safe. However, later in Washington, the State Department said Secretary of State Marco Rubio had spoken by phone with Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni about migration and several other issues. The department said the call focused on migration, reciprocal trade, and commercial ties, and that the Rubio had thanked Uganda for providing a model of regional stability, including its valuable contributions to peacekeeping in East Africa. Still in international news, the UK government has agreed to pay compensation to thousands of Kenyans who were affected by a fire caused by a British military training exercise 4 years ago. The out-of-court settlement follows a lengthy legal battle in which 7,723 claimants said they had lost property and suffered health.